AWA Mobile.
The yards are all mowed by the
I guess it's, I don't know if they call it the HOA or what, but they take care of the outside of the house. You don't do anything to the outside, and they keep it mowed and all that. And but I wouldn't like living there because, you know, you're real close to your neighbor. You have no, property. You have no, you have a lot of restrictions, just like where I live. So I want to move out, you know, just out far enough where I'm not in a subdivision, and have about an acre or so. And I can put me up a tower.
To the same boat I'm in. You know, I'm not in a subdivision, thank the Lord. I'm on a city street, so there's not near the restrictions. So I can do a lot of what I want to do where I'm at. The problem is that, you know, one, I'm in kind of a historic area, so I don't want to be the guy on the street that has a huge antenna tower in his backyard. But two, I mean, I'm not super close to my neighbor. Like, there's a, you know, a good, I don't want to say 100 feet, probably 75 to 100 feet between my house and his house. So, I mean, we're separated a reasonable amount. You know, it's not like, you know, neighbors can hear you hollering. But again, it's just, you know, being in town, being in the middle of everything, I just want to go somewhere where I don't hear people, I don't hear the highway, you know, I just want to get out there and, just like you said, have some room where I can play and I can put up an antenna tower and, you know, enjoy being, you know, just enjoy having some a place to myself. I'm really, really eyeing the Fountain Inn / Woodruff area, because I live in Simpsonville. I've got family in Simpsonville. I go to church in Simpsonville, and, you know, I work there on Sundays in Simpsonville. And, you know, I've got friends in Greenville and Simpsonville, Malden, that whole area. And then I work out of Spartanburg. So kind of getting in that Woodruff Fountain Inn kind of area would get me about halfway between both, you know, depending on which way you get there.
You got, at least a couple of options, if not three or four, to get, depending on where you're going, Spartanburg. From that area, Fountain Inn and Woodruff. It's not like you got to go down 85. Kind of, to me, that would be the worst thing in the world. Have to drive 85 every day. And anyway, I'm just glad I'm retired. Because I don't know. I've got a good bit of patience, but I lose it real quick when I get behind the wheel. Especially, I think that the police have a new ticket. We all have a new law that says they can write you a ticket for being stupid behind the wheel.
Quite a few folks would qualify for that one out here. It seems people driving like maniacs. You know, I prefer to just sit back and cruise. I mean, that's, you know, I don't necessarily like to take my time. Like, I'm not going to drive slow for the sake of driving slow. But I don't know. I don't drive around like I'm in a hurry. Like, you know, I'm taking my pregnant wife to deliver a baby at the hospital, you know, on the way to the gas station, like I see some of these people drive. I tell you what's crazy, though, is just the way land prices have gone up. You know, I've been looking at stuff, and if it's not, you know, a 50, 60-acre piece that someone wants $1 million for because they're hoping to sell it to a developer for them to plop in just another subdivision on, you know, it's $20,000 an acre or more, $25,000 an acre. My sister and my brother-in-law were in town over the weekend. They were looking at property up in their neck of the woods. They live up in Central Virginia. And they were throwing stuff out there. I think they said there was like a 4-acre piece for like $15,000 or something ridiculous. And there was a, one that blew my mind was 11 acres for $44,000, $45,000. I said good grief, 11 acres around here would be like 150 to 200,000, depending on where it is. It just blows my mind how prices have shot up the way they have in this area. KK4LAZ.
State, I was told you can buy a lot for 120,000. KB0KBJ.
A lot of what?
A lot in a subdivision to build a house on, 120 grand. All right, throw that in there. Washington State, KB0KBJ.
Well, I knew what you were talking about. Yeah, it's that's expensive. Wow, and then you got to build the house. Oh me. Well, a lot of people come here and they think that, like, from Florida and places like that, and they think the prices are cheap here. But it is a seller's market right now. But we're going. Well, definitely. If history repeats itself, we'll definitely have a recession, and then it's going to flip flop. Housing prices will go down, and interest rates will go up, and there'll be a seller's a buyer's market.
The only thing cheap in South Carolina is you, Dave. W2T said that. Mobile.
Well, me, Rusty, do you ever have anything nice to say about me?
I'd say it to you. I say it to other people.
So you say it to other people, then I feel better already. Jim's in there. Rusty, go ahead and pick up Jim.
Yeah, $125,000 or $120,000 for a lot. No thanks. I can understand why there's so many folks, you know, out there griping about housing costs just because, you know, seeing stuff in our area. But I know in some other places it's absolutely absurd. You know, like you were saying, Florida and all that. You know, all that. I mean, Northeast and West Coast, they can't buy anything for anything. I will say the only benefit of this whole thing is that, you know, looking at the market and talking to some real estate buddies of mine, you know, I've probably made $50,000-$60,000 on my house by sitting on it for 2 years from where I bought it back right at 2 years ago. So that's the silver lining is that I'll be able to turn around and flip what I've got and make a decent chunk of change on it. But at the same time, am I going to be able to find something that I can afford to purchase and build on? And will I be able to afford to build something? That's going to be the kicker. And, you know, hopefully not be upside down on it in 5 years when things settle down a bit.
We bought the house in North Cliff in Traverse Rest, the North Cliff subdivision. We got a good deal on it, and you know, we paid a little down on it. But when everything crashed in 08, we were actually upside down for a while. But we finally, got back to, normal or whatever normal is now. And of course, now we live in Taylor's, and praise God, our house is paid for. So, I'm tickled to death about that. That's the only reason I don't want to move, because I don't want to move if it's going to mean I got another house, a house payment.
Well, the only reason I might want to move is if I could get out of this hole that I'm living in, so I can get some decent radio outage, and also to get me a larger piece of property. 6 cents of an acre isn't very much, so. But I'm looking at things around, talking to people, and I've got some people that I know that have property that I can possibly get a good price on. So when I decide to do something, it's not like they're in the having to move it right now. So it's, you know, and they don't want to sell for a commercial property that, you know, they would be willing to let me have a couple of acres on the back side of things, and that would make me happy too. So. And And, you know, I'm not going to put a big Superman, not one of these mansions up there that you see people building in some of these places these days. I got a subdivision over here near me. It's on my church road, on Nazareth Church Road over here in Moore. The houses have got to be anywhere from $500,000 to $750,000 to $1.25 million. Some of these houses they're building in these subdivisions, they're huge. And this is a high-priced subdivision because the lots are like $20,000 a piece. So anyway, I thought I heard KB0, KBJ. I thought I heard Steve in there.
There, he can. Welcome to jump in on the next round there. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I've got some friends that also have some property that I've been kind of putting the bug in their ear that, you know, if they ever wanted to get rid of some of it, that I might be interested. The biggest problem with their property is it's more open, cleared, kind of, you know, I don't know if it was originally a farm field or not, but, you know, more of like a field, and I'm looking for something more wooded. Where I can kind of clear a little bit out in some trees and, you know, build up under the trees and have some shade and things like that. So, I don't know. It's a wild market the way it is. It's crazy just having seen it explode the way it has this last year and a half, while all this nonsense has been going on and, you know, stuff hasn't been available. But, you know, I think on the flip side of that, we are blessed to be in a beautiful area that's booming and it's not dying. So, you know, I think there's positives to everything, even if one of the negatives is that things are more expensive.
Well, it's definitely, I mean, I grew up and my wife grew up in Greenville, and we've lived here all our lives, except for about 2.5 years in Charleston. But I love it up here. But anyway, well, I'm pulling in the sports club, and there are a couple of drops on the windshield. But like I said, if it starts raining, we'll head to the bubble. So I'll say 73. I'll turn it over to Rusty, and y'all have a good evening. And we'll talk to you later. This is KB4CPA, clear.
All right, Dave, well, be careful. Don't twist your ankle or your elbow or anything else while you're hitting those tennis balls. Talk to you later. Go ahead, Jim.
Good talking to you, Dave. 7-3, enjoy your time playing tennis out there. I know that'll be fun. 7-3, KK4LAZ. Rusty, how you doing today?
Well, pretty good. I just got a shock real quick. Over here in Spartanburg area, they're redoing all of the fuel pumps and tanks and everything for all of the 7-Elevens that are over here. And I just pulled up on this 7-Eleven, and I saw their price of gas for $9.99 a gallon. And then I looked over and I realized they have fenced in the entire area where all the gas tank, where the tanks are and the pumps and everything. So they're doing to this one just what they did to one up the road about 4 miles. Is they're redoing it, putting in new tanks and new pumps and everything else, so they'll be good to go. And anyway, I've just been putting stuff together for a convention I've got coming up in 2 weeks. So that's been all these last-minute things, trying to make sure everything is, all the people are getting here where they're supposed to, coming in from, and I've got all the stuff ready to do that and what I need and all the stuff I do. And then I get to print labels here. I get to spend some time printing labels for name badges starting this next week when we close down registration next week. So that'll be what I'll do for a couple of weeks, getting stuff ready, the final things before I haul everything up to up into the Hendersonville area, well, Flat Rock area, because that's where the Blue Ridge Community College is. That's where our event is going to be. So anyway, and talking about prices, there's a subdivision being built over here along one of the roads that I travel along. The prices for the houses were in the $185,000 to $195,000 range. That was last year. And about March of this year, all of those houses went up $50,000 to $60,000, and they're the same floor plan as they were before. Same, you know, they're all on a slab, and they haven't changed anything on it. They just bumped the prices up $50,000 to $60,000, and that's all because of the lack of people to do the work, so go figure. Oh, well, it is what it is. I guess we'll have to deal with it. Well, I've reached my first stop, which is here at the grocery store, so I need to go inside. And I got to pick up a couple things before I go to my first of my two rehearsals tonight. Talk to you later. You have a good one, and we'll catch up to you in a little bit. 73-W2T.
Well, have fun getting set up for your convention. I hope everything goes well with that, and just be safe out there running around in this, what looks like it might become some nasty weather here in short order. KK4LAZ to WU2T, 73s, and I'll be sitting on the repeater listening.
DJW, mobile.
JW, KD2BG, how you doing?
Hey, Glenn, just leaving the airfield, how you doing?
Getting home, got my my pizza from Pizza Factory, and cat food for the cats, so that's all I really need. Free pizza, pretty much everything. You know, pepperoni, mushrooms, sausage, whatever's on there. It doesn't matter, it's all good. You know, from the one of the few places that still does New York pizza.
Like it with everything on it like that. The Supreme. Pizza Hut Supreme. Amy likes the really thin crust with nothing but pepperonis and cheese on it. that's like ketchup. I tell her it's like ketchup on cardboard.
So with pretty much anything. Well, I don't know. You know, odd things like maybe pineapples, maybe not. But, yeah, you know. Cheeses, meats, vegetables, onions, mushrooms, whatever, your basic pizza. And, you know, Pizza Factory in Melbourne, as far as I know, the only one that does a very, very good facsimile of a New York City style pizza.
Hut from New York.
Hut? I don't know. Place I said was, Pizza Factory. They got one location in Malton. Pizza Hut, I don't know where they're from. If they even know how to do pizza. For all I know, they're from Texas. Who could say?
Okay, cool. When you said Supreme, I thought about Pizza Hut, because they have a Supreme. Maybe other places have a Supreme as well. I don't know. I know I spent, when I was going to Greenville Tech, I would eat personal pan pizza every day between school and work. Every day for 2 years.
It was generally consistent quality. It was not bad. The other one that used to be horrible, but it got better, was Domino's Pizza, although they're probably still horrible.
Ken's Pizza, is that a pizza place? Ken's?
No, all the major takeaway pizza places I know of are Pizza Hut, Domino's Pizza, and what was the other one? Papa John's was one of them. You know, not good pizza. I mean, there was a Papa John's in New York City. They probably went broke because, you know, New York is no good pizza. Little Caesars, I think, has like $5 takeaway pizza, but they're probably not any good either.
So does that mean New York is the pizza connoisseur of the U.S.? That's the city that consumes more pizza than anybody?
Chicago. There's a point to be made for Chicago style. Chicago style is crispier crust, but it's deep dish. You know, it serves in its own little pizza pan. So there's some debate as to whether New York or Chicago is the better pizza place, the better. Now, of course, if you want pastrami or corned beef or whatever, definitely New York.
So is there merit to the rock ovens that they use over in Europe for pizza?
Pretty much anyone that does really, really high-end pizza does brick oven pizza. Now, probably most pizza places, you go probably just do, you know, the regular pizza, the gas heated pizza oven. I don't know if I've had brick oven or not. Supposedly that's the gold standard is brick oven.
KB0KBJ. Isn't the advantage of brick oven speed also?
It retains heat. Brick oven probably does get hotter. So, yeah, it may cook it in a bit less time. But, you know, most places are just the standard, you know, gas-powered pizza oven. You know, brick oven, I guess, is, I don't know. I don't know if I've had brick oven or not.
I think over in Europe, their walls are like 4 feet thick, and they get those things really, really hot. And you can put pizza in them after pizza, and they don't cool off.
Yeah, that's what I've seen up in North Carolina. I know this fellow had a house, and he had a fire in there. It was a brick, and, you know, opening there. And there was like a piece of angle iron to keep the cold and heat and everything on one side, and a long stick and a paddle. And we were making our own pizzas there, and our own personal pizzas, and put our toppings on. And he'd slide them in, you know, and, I don't know, 30 seconds, a minute. It was not long at all. I mean, slide them back out and they'd be done. And I put my hand up to the opening. I couldn't feel nothing. And I slowly inched it in. And all of a sudden I hit the heat zone and it just took the hair off the back of my fingers. And it was a sharp line of heat. It was hot.
And the brick oven actually built into something. Like the, well, the brick oven is also your central heating system. It's part of a big chimney. Yeah, those get very, very hot. And probably, well, I don't know about coal or coke, but with wood they'd get hot enough. You know, next we'll have a coal-fired pizza oven. Probably get a bit hotter.
Pizza over in Europe was really, really good. I don't know anybody that does that here. I guess there are some that do that here. I just haven't ever seen them. Like those those national chains, I don't think they have the wherewithal to to build something that's hefty. I think they've got too much compromise between, you know, the cost to maintain it and what they make off of it. Probably not making that much off of it, so that they can't do. I don't know how they get away with it over in Europe. Maybe they don't make as much. Maybe it's not as important to them as the pride in their pizzas.
Well, 1,000-degree pizza, they used an oven like that where you make your own and you give it to them and they'll slide it in and slide it out. And that's a chain I know. They were up in Watertown for a while, but they couldn't make a go of it and closed down.
Up there, well, let's say you go any further, you're in Ontario. Yeah, you know who else does that? There's a couple of places on the West Coast. That's like a California thing, the brick pizza oven.
Steve, in Watertown?
The name of it was 1,000-degree pizza.
I guess it was a good effort, but no success. W4DJ, though.
KG, okay, so 1,000-degree pizza from the Thousand Lakes region. If I go back to Watertown, I'll have a look at it.
All right, I think you're thinking of the wrong Watertown. Which one? What state are you talking about?
All the way upstate, New York. Like half an hour from the border. Is that not the same place? If you go much further north, you're in Ontario.
Yeah, no, that's that Watertown I'm talking about is in South Dakota.
Place.
You're from Watertown now, Glenn.
No, but I know they had one in Watertown, South Dakota, but it's gone. I don't know why. There seems to be a sick piece quite a bit there. Restaurants come and then they go.
Near me where I lived before, that within 2 years was 4 to 6 different restaurants. You know, restaurant is a hard business to start up. Because for the first 12 months or so, you're undercapitalized. You know, until you get the business coming in. Yeah, it was 3 or 4 restaurants within 2 years. So it's hard to start up a, everyone underestimates how much capital you need.
Very true.
out here. It's raining and the sun is shining at the same time in Greer.
Acorn's not raining yet. Sky is still actually most somewhat clear. It might start later on. We're expecting a lot of rain, I guess, overnight.
40 minutes to get home and turn the sprinklers off. Or else I'm going to be watering the lawn while the rain's coming down.
I wonder if anyone ever made a wetness sensor for a sprinkler system? That'd be a good circuit to design. If the soil is wet, don't bother turning on the sprinkler. I'm sure a thing like that is out there.
Sensors for the soil are out there. I've seen them with Raspberry Pi kits. So, yeah, that wouldn't be hard to build at all.
It's a transistor and that's not a lot at all. It's a high impedance across the transistor is a water sensor. But, yeah, that's what we'll have to have is the water sensor for the sprinkler system. And you know that's coming up not before too much longer. Even in places that we're running out of water. I think it's not too much longer before the rest of the country is like on, you know, Southern California water restrictions.
If we're running out of water, where's the water going?
Climate is changing and less of it is coming down as rain. Yeah, that's a very good question. If we're running out of water, where's it going? There's less precipitation, which means that it must come down from somewhere else because, you know, water still flows toward the ocean. Yeah, you got me there. If we're running out of water, where's it going?
The water we drink is the same water that the dinosaurs drank. So, if it's been around that long, I don't think that it's going to go away in our lifetime.
Fair enough, I suppose that's true. It's the same water that was always here. It gets evaporated and precipitated back down and refiltered and reflowed. I guess it's just a question of where. You know, more areas become more arid, other areas become rainier. The amount of rain is constant, but the distribution changes.
The Earth is, as the Earth pivots on its axis, going back and forth, like a clock, like a pendulum on a clock. Anyway, I got to unload the truck. I'm at home. Appreciate the ride home. Steve, if you're still there, good seeing you guys. W4DJW.
JW KD2BNG. All right, 73s, and maybe I'll catch you for the net tonight if I'm on. And you take care. Have a good one.
For LAZ Mobile in downtown Greenville.
LAZ KD2BNG.
Talking about the rain and the water and all that kind of stuff, and something I've been real interested in looking at lately is a home weather station. Maybe something that's APRS connected, but at least something that I can, you know, set up and get accurate weather data at the house. That's something that's always interested me, and I've been looking into different options for that. I haven't pulled the trigger on anything yet, though.
Home weather system is my collection of 4 to 6 cats. If the cats come back wet, it's raining. If the fur is all ruffled, it's very windy. That I don't know. As far as local weather stations that are preferably have some sort of data link, I'm sure there's a lot of them pre-made out there you can buy, or if you're ambitious, build something.
A couple different companies that make equipment. I think Davis is one, and obviously you got like your AccuRite and things like that.
It's been a long day.
But yeah, that's just something that's always been interesting to me. I've got a buddy who went to school for meteorology, and he at least for a while had one set up at his place. I don't know if he's still got it anymore. And it was cool because it was web connected, so you could actually connect it to, I forget which app it was. It was like AccuWeather or one of the, you know, weather applications on your phone or online, and you could connect it to that, and then it would be used to aggregate data for an area. So, you know, they would use, you could directly tap on that station and look at the data directly from that station, or you could, I think it would, you know, use that, the data it got from that station in conjunction with the other stations to, you know, to figure out, I guess, averages and things like that across an area. So it's pretty neat. They got a lot of cool tech like that now.
AccuWeather gets their data. It's crowdsourced from these internet-connected, that's possible.
Get all of their data. I think you can go in there and, like, look at different types of data, and, you know, part of that data is the crowdsourced cloud stuff, and then other is obviously from your traditional sources and, you know, traditional providers and things like that. But I just thought that was neat that you could go in there and you could look at it, and, like, you could specifically go, and they had a map, and if you looked at his house on the map and you tapped on it, it would pull up the data for just his station. And so that was a pretty neat technology that it had that available.
I pulled in the driveway. It's starting to look dark here, so I'm going to grab my pizza and feed the cats. It's going to rain heavy here in the next couple hours. Anyway, nice talking to you. Your call sign escapes me, but this is KD2BNG, and we'll talk to you later, 73s.
Have a good evening. Enjoy your pizza and stay out of the weather. KK4LAZ, 73s, and I'll be listening on the repeater.